Moncrief
on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Now, time for Tell Me Why with Graham Finlay. If you have a question for Graham, you can send it in to afternoon@newstalk.com. Today's question is, why do we dream?
Indeed.
And we don't know.
And the answer is, we don't know. Sorry. See you next week. No, actually, there are happily a lot of theories about why we dream, but we don't know why we dream. And for one reason we don't know why we dream is that we don't know why we sleep. Even. I mean, it's amazing that we don't know these things, given that we do know that lack of sleep is really bad for you and, in fact, will kill you, right? Or at least kills rats, but probably can kill. And I believe they've proved that it can kill people. But we don't know why sleep is important. One theory is that this is just something neurons do. They go from a state of activity to less activity, even if they're grown in a petri dish. Right, which is kind of creepy in its own right,
yes.
Frankly. Or worms, which have something like 300 neurons, seem to sleep a little bit, right? So it seems like it may just be a natural part of a neural network. On the other hand, there are lots and lots of other theories about why we might sleep. The brain produces important proteins and growth hormones during non-rapid eye movement sleep. There's rapid eye movement sleep when your eyes move rapidly. Mm. And that's really correlated with dreaming. In a lot of ways, it's, the dreams are much more vivid. You're much more likely to dream, but you can dream in non-rapid eye movement sleep. And it's in the non-rapid eye movement sleep, which is the bulk of your sleep, although you really want some REM sleep or else you'll also suffer.
Yeah.
And those are just less vivid. And that's when you produce certain kinds of proteins and growth hormone and so forth. Another theory about why we need to sleep is that it restores brain energy, although because of the complexity of the movement of energy around the brain, it's not entirely clear whether that's true. It clears out waste, and many people conceive of this waste in terms of your computer system cleaning itself, periodically when you're not looking and things like that, of all sorts of unnecessary stuff. Another one is that it improves brain connectivity, improves your memory, basically, and plasticity, your ability to learn. Finally, it may have something to do with the truly underrated glial cells of the brain, which nobody ever talks about. Even though they outnumber the neurons by something like 3 to 1, they're much smaller than neurons. And they are the cells, among other things, which control the flow of spinal fluid to the brain. And that may have an important link in terms of brain health and also why we need to sleep for our brain health. So we don't know why we sleep.
But it would seem on a common sense level to be something to, it's restorative in some sense.
Right.
Because that's how we feel after we've had a good night's sleep.
I mean, it is clearly restorative and absolutely necessary in some kind of way. Now, whether it's connected with the fact that during your REM sleep, you lose... all your powers of attention. It's really a story of the front and the back of the brain, really, dreaming.
Okay.
You lose your the sort of the powers of attention, control, and working memory in the front part of the brain. And it turns out there's been a huge brain and dreaming scientist breakthrough. There are a lot of dream scientists out there, presumably who work in a dream academy, but which is for people of a certain age, I guess. But anyway, who've had made a major breakthrough just this year where they found that... dreaming in both REM and non-REM sleep is correlated with a decrease in low frequency, that is slow brain waves, in the rear cortex, right, of the brain,
the posterior cortex.
What I'm trying to say, the posterior cortex of the brain, and so higher frequency waves in the back of the brain. Mm. And so they put a bunch of people under, not too many people, but under a lot of electrodes on their brain. And they found out that they could predict when people were dreaming with an 87% accuracy when they observed them, because they saw different parts of their posterior cortex light up, basically. And then they asked them what they'd been dreaming about. And they found that they could trace what they were dreaming about to different parts of the posterior cortex. So if you saw people and faces in your dream, it's visual recognition. If you heard speech, it's language recognition. If you moved in your dream, it's all the powers surrounding movement, and spatial recognition and so forth. And they really think that this could really not just open knowledge of dreams, which of course are incredibly important, but of consciousness generally, because it may identify what's working when we're consciously looking at things and performing all these activities in the posterior cortex. And one of the advantages about studying dreams, just in case you're one of those people who thinks, like, I can't believe we're paying scientists to study dreams, is that you know, when you're dreaming, you're not, you know, the experiment's not going to be wrecked by external stimuli, because it doesn't seem like external stimuli have a profound effect on people's dreams, or by the fact that you're in a psychological experiment itself, because you're asleep,
yeah,
which is a problem of testing people's consciousness when they're awake. So for all those reasons, this dream research is very, very exciting.
It is, yeah. People are already texting in. Don't we sleep to aid repair in the body? I think we sleep so our brain can defrag like a hard disk, says Gary in Swords.
That's one of the theories, all right.
Did you ever see the episode of Star Trek The Next Generation where the crew of the Starship Enterprise were going slowly mad? Dr. Beverly Crusher worked out that although they were sleeping, they weren't getting into a deep REM sleep, which was knocking their brain function off kilter, and it meant they started hallucinating. And I've just worked out after typing out this text that I need to get out more. Yes. So that's very beneficial to all of us.
I probably have seen that one, since I've seen every single episode. Although the ones where they're going mad, you know, I think I've just lumped them all together.
Right. Yes.
Just like a dream, really. What's interesting about sleep and dreaming is it's clearly got almost everything to do with the brain. Mm. I mean, it's not clear. I mean, we know that the brain is involved in sleep and dreaming. At every moment, you know, it's got to do with the brain. Whereas the rest of the body, it's not clear that your leg muscles need sleep.
Yes.
So it's a tricky question.
Isn't there part of your sleep cycle where effectively the body is paralyzed?
Indeed, yes.
Yeah.
REM sleep is characterized by paralysis, which means you don't move around in your sleep unless you have post-traumatic stress disorder or a relatively rare REM, you know, sleep disorder where you do move around in your sleep. And that's why post-traumatic stress disorder is characterized by people moving and waking up screaming in the middle of the night in their dreams and sleepwalking and all sorts of other things. Mm. And so that could be connected to, and it's connected to a number of the theories about why we do dream.
Right, of which there are many.
There are many.
So, and they're probably as old as people could even discuss these things.
They're at least as old as, well, the Greeks. I mean, Aristotle wrote a whole treatise on dreaming. It should be said, there are people who say that there is no reason why we dream. It's just produced by other processes.
Random stuff,
you know?
Yeah.
We have a brain and a body whose job is to think and to act, and that's, you know, it's just why it does it. And it really doesn't have any particular meaning. Some people say it's random data coming from the brainstem, although these people have been pretty much proved wrong, and so forth. So, but there have, since Aristotle, been theories about dreaming, many of which have sort of held up over the years. So Aristotle believed that he wrote a whole thing on dreams, that, you know, Aristotle believed that our brain literally receives impressions, as in sort of dents, from the outside world through stimuli. And that's the basis of his whole psychology, which sadly I don't get to teach at all, which is too bad. But anyway, when we're asleep, all the sort of noisy impressions, like the brightness of a larger fire, Aristotle says, have gone away. And so these previous and smaller fire and less vivid impressions can occupy our mind. And that's why we focus on sort of the events of the day and memories and so forth. One of the things which is common to these theories is the question about whether dreams are always about the events of the day or about memories, or whether they're about random associations and so forth.
Yeah, there's somebody on Twitter saying the same thing. We dream to analyze the day or stressful situations. Yeah.
It turns out, well, that many of the theories surround stressful situations, but it turns out only half of our dreams have any appreciable day residue, as they call it in the dream science literature. Mm. I.e. some clear link to something which happened today.
Yeah.
Now, Freud, who took up Aristotle's theory and debunked it quite early on in his classic and extremely long and sadly extremely false interpretation of dreams.
Yeah, but, we will be talking about him later on.
Exactly, right.
He's getting a kick in today.
I'm going to try and rehabilitate him a little bit since Frederick Cruz is coming on to beat him up. He's a lovely stylist.
Okay.
He's very proud of that.
Lovely,
but anyway, so Freud
Really
kicked off modern dream theory by saying in his massive and rather tendentious and repetitive work, to be fair, The Interpretation of Dreams, that all dreams, all of them, are basically concealed wish fulfillment. We have all these desires, and if they're relatively innocuous, they'll appear more or less like they are in our dreams. But many of them are to do things which probably can't be said on the radio. So those we censor, because we're afraid of those. And so we turn them into all sorts of strange things through a few processes, condensation, displacement, and so forth.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of problems. And he said, I was looking through The Interpretation of Dreams again today, and I remembered just how repetitive it is. But these often involve long memories, and he's always looking for some kind of original memory source for the dream. And then he's going to try to find the filthiest sort of interpretation he can put on it. Now, later on, you know, faced with people who had post-traumatic stress disorder, he had to concede that, you know, not all dreams are about sex, but some of them are about violence. But he never gave up on this idea that all dreaming is like this, right? And that's really what makes it kind of an unsatisfactory approach. Jung, who he fell out with sort of famously, had a much more complicated theory about dreams, which was the idea that they you know, are part of our integration as an individual. And they're about integrating our unconscious lives, which have some of the complexities of Freud, but are in fact more complex because they're not just about sex, but about all the great life events and the archetypical mythical responses which are to them, and integrating them with our humdrum, boring, non-Oedipal, non-mythic sort of everyday lives. Mm. Sadly, Jung has also been as comprehensively falsified pretty much as Freud.
Yes.
So, but in case I don't get back to this, I should say that there's a recent experiment which suggests that Freud may have been onto something, even if he pushed it a little too far, which is they did an experiment where they asked a bunch of people to think about someone they knew. And then one group they didn't tell anything to do in terms of the other one they told just to write randomly about whatever. One group they told not to write in their automatic writing of five pages before they went to sleep.
Yeah.
Not to think about that person, right? And another group, they told them to think about that person. The people who were told not to think about that person dreamed about them more frequently and had much more unpleasant dreams about them. And so they think this is a sign that when we try to repress something, as Freud said, right, it does lead to unpleasant dreams, and it does lead to a sort of fixation on the particular thing you're trying to repress.
Isn't there a theory that perhaps dreams are some sort of rehearsal for how to deal with a threat?
Yeah, there's lots and lots of different theories, some of which, you know, do relate to some of these things. So a lot of them are about making our actions more coherent. So Calvin S. Hall was, you know, impressed by Freud and Jung, and he studied 50,000 dreams, and he decided that they'd have a cognitive function. They allowed us to think about how to act by rehearsing things. Mm. Now, a lot of evolutionary theorists suggest that those things we're worried about are threats, and they see that dreams are as threat simulation. And you can sort of see why this might be a plausible theory. If you can deal with threats and develop your threat, you know, flight response. But in fact, the typical response is tonic immobility, this sort of playing dead or failing to move.
Because response. You actually can't at that time.
Because you can't, right? Yeah. You know, that response, developing that response could be adaptive. And that's why all mammals dream. Perhaps opossums apparently dream a lot more than human beings.
Yeah,
and armadillos.
And it's the case that as far as can be ascertained, the vast majority of dreams that people have some component of anxiety in them.
Well, there are lots of dreams. I mean, I thought it was just me, but apparently the dominant emotion in dreaming is in fact anxiety, right? Most of mine involve like losing my keys. Maybe I'm talking too much. Plus, I'm not paying you. I've been paying you for this. So a lot of other things.
That's your penis.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. The famous quote by Freud, which may come up later.
I don't know if that. I think he never said that.
Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
Yeah.
Basically, by the basis of his theory, he couldn't have said it.
Yes.
A cigar is never just a cigar. Anyway, a lot of these other ones are about memory, about whether it's the transfer of memories from the temporary store to the long-term store. And again, this continual activation theory is very similar to Aristotle's. It's the idea that once you're consciousness and your sort of working memory is switched off, then the memories which are less vivid than daily life, right, awakening life, can now be transferred to the long-term store. Others, are there just expectations of long-term memory? And again, that really plays back into Freud, where he's always talking about something he saw 30 years ago and then suddenly realized that's what he was dreaming about. Another one is about memory consolidation. And again, this is linked to threat theory. So the stress hormone cortisol is produced in increased levels during REM sleep. And this replicates the production of memories under stress, right? But it also reduces the flow of data from hippocampi. So the brain is, while you're sleeping and dreaming, taking these disparate elements, which have been all jumbled up by these blocking chemicals and so forth, and trying to turn them into a smooth narrative by erasing, again, this relates to the sort of, you know, defragging theory of dreams, by erasing all sorts of junk memories or memories which don't really fit and giving you a more coherent sense. So it combines both the sort of threat and anxiety side of the theories with the idea that it's really about memory consolidation. And then others see them as therapy. Recently divorced women with untreated depression had a better mood if they had dreamed about the ex-spouse or the relationship.
Wow.
And this brings us into the very exciting world of lucid dreaming.
Where you know you're dreaming.
Where you know you're dreaming, right. Yeah. So dreams are actually quite related in some cases to problem solving. There's various famous scientists like Otto Loewi who learned about nerve impulses, that they were chemically transmitted or developed the experiment in a dream. Friedrich Kekulé dreamed about Ouroboros, the snake that eats its own tail, and imagined the structure of benzene. Both these guys were well awarded for this. Jack Nicklaus fixed his golf swing after a dream. Paul McCartney wrote yesterday after a dream. And they've done an experiment about this. Lucid dreamers are people who know they're dreaming. And in fact, these people can even communicate with each other if they're in the same room in a dream. And they might even appear in each other's dream.
Okay, you lost me there.
This is a little too intense a relationship for some, I'd say. Anyway, lucid dreaming is associated with REM sleep. It's associated with greater activity in the parietal lobe, and accordingly a greater consciousness of yourself in the dream. You can actually maybe control your actions in the dream if you're a lucid dreamer. Now, they did an experiment where they discovered that lucid dreamers are better at solving a creative task, which they set them if they, woke them up and from REM sleep and asked them to solve that task in advance, right, than non-lucid dreamers. Whereas both non-lucid dreamers and lucid dreamers were equally good at logical problems, or at least there was no difference between them. But when they were given the task of creating a metaphor, non-lucid dreamers did better. That there's, not surprisingly, non-lucid dreaming has been used in therapy a lot. It was also a technique which people deliberately used to be creative in the past. Jung did it, Kekulé did it, but it's also being used to treat people for the reduction of nightmares.
Yeah, but of course we do everything after a dream because we dream every night anyway.
Yeah, some people don't.
We don't know.
Most adults, almost
everybody
dreams.
They just might remember. But
there are some people who, there's a lot of disputes in the science. There are some people who either don't dream or they don't dream every night.
Wow.
But certainly there's a considerable variation in the reports of dreams people have over the course of their life. But it does seem most people always dream.
Okay, experiment. Everybody who's listening, tonight when you go to sleep, I want you to dream of Graham Finlay. Tomorrow you can text in and tell us what happened. Graham, thanks a million.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.